Woo, hallelujah, praise God. You almost have me walking pews. Amen to God, hallelujah. And Casey, you actually got him asking questions. We tried that in high school. It didn't work. Hallelujah, praise God. Isn't it great to be in God's house this morning? Yes. You did it. I'm so proud of you. Thank Lord it only took us 3 months. God is wonderful and glorious. And before I start any of this, I want to thank you all. You haven't thrown anything. That's a good sign. But I want to thank all the people this week who have been my teachers. I've been asking questions. I've been sitting in on classes. I sat in on a retreat and I had to be quiet. That was so hard. Mary Noble said I had to be quiet. But thank you all. You have allowed me this week to learn from you, and that has made my life complete. So thank you. I can't go into naming all who I've talked to, but you've enriched my life, and you have helped me this week to bring God's word from you. And I want to thank you for that. If you have your Bible, we're going today to one of the most noted passages, John 3, 1 through 17. I am using today a different translation. This is the NIV, so you may want to follow me on the screen. We're going to go John 3, 1 through 17. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read with you on the screen as well as below. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows whatever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and yet you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must also be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. My sons and brothers of God, this is the word of God. For the people of God, thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to join with me as we gather around the throne of grace in prayer. "My Lord, my Lord, come to us in this moment. Fill your house with your grace, that our hearts and our minds may no longer be closed to you, that we may receive from you the living word, the only word that can save us. Open our ears, remove the scales from our eyes, and break our hearts of stone. For there is no other that can save us but you. And my Lord, my precious Lord, my Master and my God, fill me with your Spirit. Hide me behind your cross, that you and you alone may be seen. Speak, my Lord, speak. For your daughter is listening. Amen. As I've talked with you all this week, I've asked one question. When was that moment that you realized that you needed Jesus? That you wanted, that you had this desire, that something was pulling you to something greater? And some of you shared with me that you were a child, maybe 6 or 7, 9 or 10, and you didn't know what it was, but you just knew you needed more. And some of you shared with me that you were 15 or 16. You were at a Billy Graham crusade, or you were at home in bed and Oral Roberts spoke to you. Some of you were at church camp, and some of you it was much later in life. Some of you it was a moment of epiphany or a burning bush. Every time God sent me a burning bush, I had a fire extinguisher. Some of you, it was a gradual coming to Christ. You've always knew what you knew, and that you loved him. Whatever that moment was, it was something that changed you. And we have many of those moments in our life of coming back and forth, this dance of grace, that we come back and forth. These moments are pivotal. We see it within the Holy Scriptures, the entirety of Scriptures. I came across a word thanks to my friends on Monday night. Barika, a Hebrew word. I may have mispronounced it, but that's the best I can do. Barika. And it means, and he called. He called. He who created, he who brought forth, he who spoke creation into existence. He who had the power to speak out of love to create. We see this word as the very first word of the book of Leviticus, when Moses and the people of Israel are at the Mount of Sinai, and he spoke, and Moses came to get the great law. But we also see this word, I love this, in Genesis chapter 3. In the cool of the evening, God would walk with Adam and Eve, face to face, and they would talk. But on one evening, as God walked among the garden and he called, Raika, Adam and Eve hid themselves, for they had sinned. And when he called, Adam would answer from the bushes and said, "Here I am." And the one who called said, "Why are you hiding?" And Adam said, "I am naked. I realize my shame. I realize my guilt. I cannot stand to be in your presence, for I have broken the relationship. I know my plight. by the grace of the Almighty, we were sent from the perfect place and covered by that grace of animal skins. But he called. He called. Varika, he called. The one has been calling all through Scripture. The one has been calling all through our lives. And we've been hearing that call through the grace. We've been hearing that call. The one who spoke creation speaks, everlastingly speaks. God does not shout often. I wish God would shout. I wish God would shout above the din and the noise of the world, amen. But God, as Elijah told us, shouts in a still small voice. God beckons us in those still moments in the whisper. God speaks to our heart where there's a God-shaped hole that only God can fill. And God speaks, and we have to listen with our soul's heart. And God speaks, and God speaks, and we need God to continue to call, and God kept calling to us, and we kept ignoring it until God said, I need to go in a way that they can hear. I need to go in a way that they cannot deny that I am calling. So God came in a way that we could hear. God came in flesh and blood and walked among us in the form of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. And one night, that calling of God reached an old man named Nicodemus. That's where we pick up the scripture. And Varika. And he, meaning Nicodemus, came to Jesus at night. I've been pondering, why is it that Nicodemus came at night? And one of my dear friends postulated to me, maybe Nicodemus came at night because he'd been working all day and he's a night processor. It takes him at night to figure out what was going on. Nicodemus was a leader at the Sanhedrin, and maybe he just needed to think about things, to process things, and he needed to come at night. I want to dispel something that's out there. Do you see the word fear of the Jews in this sentence? No. It has been preached many times that Nicodemus came at night for fear of the Jews. Do you see fear of the Jews in that? It just simply says he came at night. We don't know why he came. We just know he came at night. And the only other time that you see Nicodemus pop up in Scripture is the end of the Gospel of John when he came to collect the body. And it wasn't Nicodemus that was at fear. It was Joseph of Arimathea that came at fear. Nicodemus, maybe he came because it was at the end of the night that he had time to come. Maybe he had questions. Maybe this was when he could come. Maybe he came because Varika. That's when God called. God calls me at night often. When I have slowed down enough, when I've gotten still enough, has God called you at night? God likes to call me at 2 a.m. out of a dead sleep. Maybe that's because when I'm not talking. Between 2 and 4, I don't talk. I know it's hard to believe, but yeah, that's when it happens. Maybe that's when we tend to come to God, when we tend to come to Christ is in the darkness of our lives. Maybe we forget to talk to Jesus when things are going well. We forget that Jesus wants to talk to us during the daylight, and we only come to Jesus at night. You know? Newsflash, Jesus is interested in all of our day. He wants to talk to us when things are going well, because he likes to laugh with us. He likes to celebrate with us. He's interested in the nighttime of our life. He is there with us every moment of every day. We just forget about him. We forget that he cares. But what was it that drew Nicodemus to Christ? It was grace. It was that grace that was calling to all of us from the moment of creation to now. It was grace that kept pulling Nicodemus to him with all of his questions, with all of his doubts, with all of his stuff. It was grace that kept the conversation going. Sometimes we ask questions because we don't want to face up. It's kind of our way of numbing ourselves to the situation. But you notice that Jesus kept in the conversation. He did not tell Nicodemus to go away. I don't want to answer your silly questions, right? He continued the conversation. Grace, I believe, is what pulled Nicodemus into that conversation. When God was calling, grace was working in Nicodemus to bring him into that conversation. It was grace that brought Nicodemus to Jesus. That grace that out of love was working in that conversation. Because you see, grace and love go hand in hand. It was the love of God and the grace of God pulling this man into this encounter with Jesus, where they kept in conversation. And it was grace and love that kept working on Nicodemus when he left the conversation. We don't know when he left during the night. We know that he went away. We don't know when it was in the interval between Nicodemus talking with Jesus and Nicodemus coming back to the cross. But we know that Nicodemus came back to the cross and witnessed what happened. But it was grace and love intertwined that brought Nicodemus back to the cross. Grace works in our lives even when we don't know it. Grace works in our lives to convince us of God's love for us. Grace calls us to Jesus Christ. We're going to talk more about that next week. So ladies, hang on for the retreat. I'm going to get there. But it is through the love of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can experience this grace in which we are saved. And here's the great thing. We don't deserve this love of God. But God loves us anyway. And there is nothing that you can do to make God not love you. I have tried. I keep telling y'all, Tim, be quiet. I am a heathen. For a long time, I've tried to make God not love me. I did some things to make God not love me. And God kept saying, you silly, silly girl, I love you anyway. There is nothing so horrible that God won't forgive. God died to show us how much God loves us. And we don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. We just have to say thank you and accept it. Unconditional love. Folks, if that don't make you get up happy, I don't know what will. I mean, seriously, why are y'all not happier? God loves you. God loves you. God loves everyone. The priest and the prostitute, the homemaker and the heretic, the do-gooder and those in jail, the whacked-out preacher and the Alabama fan. God loves you. Jesus Christ stood here to teach us that one lesson and loved us so much that he died for us and loved us so much that he got up out of the grave. That's shouting good news. And our job not only is to respond to grace, shoutingly respond to grace. That's why we have an altar. Let me introduce you. This is an altar. Ain't nobody gonna talk about you if you come up here to the altar. I'll talk about you if you don't. But we have this great good news, and the world needs to hear it. The world is wrapped up in hate and darkness. Thank you, and fear. And there is nothing that the world has out there that will keep it alive. What it needs is the grace and love of God. And they need us to tell them about it. Because Jesus loves me, for this I know. They need that message. And that's our marching orders. But we can't tell them that unless we know that. Amen. Now, when we know that, when we've been through that night of hearing Varika, when we know that, when we know that, when he calls, we can do this. My prayer for you, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is that when you leave here today, you can be with your arms stretched out, declaring that Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you. So as we sing, I pray that you will respond to the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our altar is open. If you need to come back to God, as we sing, I Surrender All, if you need prayer, if you'd like prayer, prayer of renewal, rededication, whatever it is that God's calling you, please come.